Let us now turn to read God's Word. And our reading this morning is in the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel and chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 1 to 23. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." Absalom said, "Moreover, oh that I were made judge in the land, that every man who hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it came to pass after 4 years that Absalom said unto the king, "I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, If the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord." And the king said unto him, "Go in peace." So he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron." And when Absalom went 200 men, and with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David, saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword." And the king's servant said unto the king, "Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women who were concubines to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Kerethites and all the Perethites and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee." And Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." And David said to Ittai, "Go and pass over." And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice. And all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. And all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. Amen. And may God add his blessing and give to us understanding in that reading his own holy word. Shall we sing again his praise from Psalm 143, the first verse, and then singing from verse 5. Psalm 143 at verse 5 to verse 10, 5 stanzas. I call to mind the days of old, to meditate I use on all thy works, upon the deeds of I off thine hands do muse. My hands to thee I stretch, my soul thirsts as dry land for thee. Haste, Lord, to hear, my spirit fails, hide not thy face from me. Lest like to them I do go down to the dust, at morn let me thy kindness hear, for in thee do I trust. Teach me the way that I should walk, I lift my soul to thee. Lord, free me from my foes, I flee to thee to cover me. Because thou art my God, to do thy will do me instruct. Thy spirit is good, me to the land of uprightness conduct. These five stanzas from Psalm 143, I call to mind the days of old. For our meditation this morning, I want now to turn to the book of Psalms and Psalm 63. Psalm 63, and we may read the first few verses of this Psalm 1 to 6. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied out with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. The sentiment and the experience taken from these verses on which I want to linger this morning is simply the one we've indicated so long ago, the beginning of our service, a longing for the Lord. The experience that David has here for us and the deepest thoughts that he shares with us, they test us. David's flesh and blood experience challenges us on our own Christian desires and where we are in our Christian longing. How strong, how deep, how permanent are these desires with us? Are they easily overthrown? Are they easily left to one side? Do other things claim a priority and jump the queue in front of them? Or is there that passionate resolve? Is there something that grips us and won't let us go? Because we long to know the Lord as we've experienced and known him in the past. Our circumstances have changed. Things have maybe slipped. A multitude of reasons might explain why we are where we are. But being where we are, how strong is that desire for the Lord? When we speak like that, many people today, they find that these are strange words to them. The experience that we think of is something they cannot identify with. They don't understand it. They don't follow it. What is all this passion about knowing the Lord? So many people are like that today. We've got to ask ourselves the question, are you, am I, comfortable to go through a day without committing that day to the Lord? Without seeking and knowing His presence with us? Without feeding our souls upon His Word? A simple question comes to us. Are we restless? Or are we content without the Lord? Do we want to know more of His company, His presence and His Word? Simple, practical, testing challenges that bring this message close to our home, to our soul, to ourselves this morning. A very practical, challenging text. But it's also a text that's very up to date in another application. The setting of this text is from what we read there in 2 Samuel chapter 15. David was confronted with a rebellious son, Absalom. We read there the way in which he positioned himself at the gates of the city and made himself known to everybody who came with a complaint or judgment or something like that. And he won the heart of the people, we are told. The intrigue deepened. The threat from Absalom became more obvious. He connived of a situation with all its simplicity, and the people that went with him, we're told, were deliberately simple in their naivety. He connived to be a way, thinking of going to Hebron to perform a vow when he was going to Hebron to have himself enthroned as king. That was a crucial crunch point. And from that time onwards, there was great threat against David, his family, and his followers. They had little time to pack. We're told there in a reading of the way in which they had to be away speedily. Danger was knocking at the door, so they had to run as far and as fast as they could go, only taking with them what they could carry. And there, when we finished our reading in verse 23, we're told that they passed over the brook Kidron into the wilderness. They had little comforts. They had few things of this world's goods. So therefore the question we can legitimately ask, David, what is it that you want more than anything else? What is it that you want more than anything else in the wilderness? Where you are. I'm not a fan of Desert Island Discs, but occasionally when you're listening to it traveling in the car, you can come to the end of the program, and everybody who's been on the program, they're given a set of, I think it's a Bible, and a set of either the Encyclopedia Britannica or something like the works of Shakespeare, and then they're asked, what luxury do you want? What luxury do you want in your desert island? Most of the answers come music of some form. Some people want some good food and good wine. And again, there's little unique things. People want paper and pencils to write down their thoughts and their experiences on this desert island. One request was, I want a bed so that I can have a good sleep every night. You see, when you're alone, be it on a desert island, or when you're alone in the wilderness, that focuses and filters what's important to these people. Something vital comes to the surface. And for David, That one vital thing is given to us in this Psalm 63, which comes out of his experience in 2 Samuel 15. The one thing that he's asking for. The one thing above everything else that he wants. Lord, that I might know. That I might have you. That you would be with us. That's what he's wanting. Today, our society, we are so comfortable in our society. There's no urgency coming upon us to go like David and follow David with that same focus. In our society today, we're quite comfortable with all the distractions, with all the substitutes that come our way. And because of that, in our society today, we've lost our spiritual focus and we've lost our spiritual passion. We've lost our Christian emphasis. We begin to look at other things and we're content with other things, even in Christian circles, Christian worship and Christian ministry. Let me take an example. If somebody were to come into the building, into the service here, into our church this morning, somebody might turn around and say to us, well, it's an old building. It's got a tired look about it. It's a little bit dated. It's not a modern building, is it? You do things different in it, don't you? But contrast that with somebody who's spiritually concerned. Somebody who's been awakened in their soul. Somebody who knows that they're guilty before a holy God. And one day they're going to meet him and they're concerned about that meeting. And they're looking for something to lean on. There's something they're wanting to sustain their soul, some truth that'll hold them up and give them peace. And these other things that we've just mentioned, these other things don't matter anymore. They want a word from the Lord. And that's what we need to do today. When there are so many distractions coming like a mighty wave to break over us, we need to stick firmly to what we know is important and what ultimately people need. We need to be firm in holding on to this gospel message and priority. Because the day may come upon the land of Scotland when we may not have a Christian gospel amongst us as we do today. There may not be that open ministry and people might have a thirst for God's word. And whenever there is that thirst for God's word, other things melt away into the background. That picture comes right down to ourselves as an individual basis. Some trauma visits us. Something comes and rocks our boat of life. Something hits home. And suddenly, all these past blessings, all these past comforts, suddenly they don't stack up anymore. We're looking and we're longing for a spiritual word in our moment of need. What then, be it on a national or on a personal level, when we're down to the wire, when things are tight and close for us, what is it that we want more than anything else? For David, and his example challenges us, for David the one thing that he wanted more than anything else was to be close with his God. And so as we come to worship here this morning, what is it that is important for us? What is it that we want? Oh yes, we can all say, well, if only we had a more modern building. And all of the paraphernalia that we can think of that might go with that. Yes, we can long for and look for these things. But we need more than anything else to have our focus upon our God. And to know His presence with us. And there are other things. There are other things that we might think are important. But not really. When we think of that one thing above everything else, that we might know God amongst us in our service. So yes, you can see the wilderness that David was in, and the way in which we are in a spiritual wilderness in our society today. It's not as healthy and as vibrant and as strong as things just in our recent past. So what I want to do is I want to go through this longing that David gives to us here. Just five simple, brief thoughts as a structure for ourselves, as a challenge for where we are. And the first thing I want to come to is, what is this spiritual condition that the psalmist is speaking about and that we're highlighting just now? What is this spiritual condition? The Bible holds this physical experience. The Bible talks often about thirsting. And as it speaks about thirsting in the physical realm, the Bible applies it to thirsting in the spiritual realm. And it's significant that it's thirsting that is used. You know, you and I can do without food for day after day after day. Our life wouldn't be all that different if we were to do without food for many, many days. But we cannot live without water for that same length of time. Go without it for just 2 or 3 days and you run into real and deep trouble. So it's significant that the Bible uses this example and focuses upon the thing that is urgent and important. It speaks about thirsting. And it recognizes that and it applies that to the spiritual realm. Psalm 42, we've sung. Psalm 143, we've sung. We're familiar with Isaiah 55. And the way in which the counsel comes, why are you spending your money on that which will not satisfy? Then we have the words of our Lord Himself, John 7:37. Anyone who thirsts, let him come to me and let him drink. We're talking here about a simple spiritual longing. We haven't had rain for quite some weeks, but nevertheless, it's not the kind of hot, arid place that we can see in our TV and other places in our world. We don't know what it is to be in extreme thirst and drought. But even although we don't have that, we do nevertheless have a longing. You know the way people say somebody has a longing for knowledge. Somebody has a longing for power. Someone has a longing for popularity. But we don't hear much said about a longing for the Lord. Here we have then a spiritual condition where we are intolerant of anything or anyone else but the Lord. Psalm 34 says, "Oh, taste and see that God is good." And having tasted of God's goodness, even here in verse 3 it speaks about the loving kindness of the Lord. Having tasted something of the loving kindness of God, nothing else measures up. Nothing else comes even close to meeting our longing and our need when we've tasted of God's goodness and mercy. A spiritual condition. So therefore, we simply ask this question, where are we today? Where are you and where am I? Have we started out on that journey? Have we come to taste, first of all, of the Lord? And having tasted, do we come back to get more and more and more for ourselves because we're intolerant of any kind of substitute along the way? Perhaps we're going through difficult times. We're longing and we're yearning for the Lord Himself. You remember the way the disciples spoke. When the Lord turned and the Lord said to them, people were going away, going back from Him. They were going away and leaving Him. They were abandoning Him because of the message that He had. It was proper, it was right, it was correct, but they didn't want to hear it. And they were going elsewhere and leaving Him. We can all understand how much hurt that brings to any human being. But He turned to the disciples and He said to them, will you also go away? And the disciples turned to the Lord and says, where will we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. You see, where there is a spiritual concern, that spiritual concern will go to where it is met. So that's the first thing that we have, a spiritual concern set before us in this psalm in the life of David. But the second thing I want us to think about is, what are the signs of this concern and this longing? What kind of experience is David speaking about? How would we recognize it in ourselves? And let me again just give three very simple words we can take, remember and apply. First sign of this concern is there's an urgency upon him. See what he says? He says, early will I seek thee. Now that's not David telling us that he's got an alarm clock or something that he gets up early in the morning. That's not what it means at all. What he's telling us is that this is of sufficient concern to him. That as soon as the light comes into the sky at the beginning of the day, he's up and about. He's up at the crack of dawn because there's things to be done. There's places to be. There's matters to be attended to. And the most important one to him is to know his God and God with him. He cannot wait a moment longer than is necessary. So he's up at the crack of dawn. There's this urgency upon him to know God for himself. Something has to be dealt with at the first possible opportunity. No delay, no distraction, simple commitment. He longs for a drop of water in the wilderness. So he longs for God for his soul. He's got to be first in the queue. Something is gripping his soul, an urgency. With David, is there that same urgency with us? Simple question, challenging us all the time about this longing. Yes, one word, urgent. But another word is simply this, simplicity. It's not complicated what David is wanting. There's nothing vague. It's not something airy-fairy. It's not something general that he's talking about. David is precise in his speaking and in his living. Today, people say, oh, there's a longing amongst people. They long for what? They long to, if only I felt good about myself. There's longing to be happy. Oh, if only I were content. That's the kind of airy-fairy general things. But David will have none of it. He's in the desert. He doesn't have a throne. He's on the move. He doesn't have an army. He's not living the lifestyle of a king. What does he want? It's simply this, that I might know my God. It's betrayed in his voice and it's betrayed in his words. He's lifting his eyes above the affairs of men. He's lifting his eyes above all that is going on and off for once in his life. As we must do ourselves, lift our eyes above all the glitter and the glamour of life and all the glitter and the glamour of being a king. The simplicity of his desire that the Lord would be with him. Why am I here? Why are you here? Why do we gather in the church service? Is it just because of duty? Is it just simply because of habit? Or is it to satisfy a spiritual appetite and thirst? We come simply for this reason, to meet with God. So yes, there's that urgency, this, the simplicity. Third simple sign of this longing, there's a passion. It's not something that flits across his life and then can drop off the side. It's not something that he can take up and put off whenever it's convenient, if something else more important comes his way. It's not something that, well, I can leave it for a while and maybe I'll come back to it the day after tomorrow. That's not the way I pick up David speaking here. Here he is, and there's something passionate, something driving him. In the depth of his soul, he has come to know the Lord as his God, his Savior. As we quoted from Psalm 34, he's tasted of God's goodness to himself. And out of that deep satisfaction, he's longing for more. And the longing for more isn't just simply on the surface of his life. It's welling up from deep within him. There's a depth, there's a conviction, there's a gripping of his whole body, his whole being, his whole life, soul and heart. There is something that comes from the depths of his boots. He wants his God. We've got to take that ourselves as a test of our own spirituality. And we can use it even to test others round about us. How passionate are people about, no, it's not coming to church that's important. Yes, it is, but it's coming for a purpose. It's coming to meet with God. How strong is that passion with us? How much do we want it? And what are we prepared to accept by way of inconvenience or trouble or difficulty to be here and to hold our souls up as empty vessels that God would pour down upon us his blessing? So there we have it. Yes, the spiritual condition. Yes, the signs of this condition, the urgency, the simplicity, the passion behind it. But we move on, another word simply to help us understand this. What's the source? What's the source of this spiritual condition? Where does it come from? It's not naturally found in my heart or yours. If we're left to ourselves, we want to throw over every single sign, testimony, and indication of God. We want to throw over every restriction. We want to defy every approach. We want to tone down every word that he brings before us. Remember what Adam did. Adam ran and hid in the bushes. That's where we are by ourselves. But then, to the Lord's people, one day something happened. One day the Lord broke into your thinking, into your living. God began to take you on a great spiritual journey. God began to discover to you things that were important, problems you couldn't solve. God began to tell us about ourselves. And when we were told about ourselves, we realized that we couldn't help or save ourselves. And then God tells us the way in which that problem we've got is solved in Jesus Christ. And he tells us to trust in him as our Savior. And when we're awakened, we were talking at the beginning of the sermon about this concern that comes upon people. When that concern comes upon people, we want just God's word. We have light and understanding upon ourselves, and we have light and understanding upon this book in our hands. And we read it, and we want to know more about it. That's the source of this concern. God's work by his Spirit in our souls, and how we need it to be repeated and extended and spread in our day, because there is so little and there is so muted a spirituality amongst us in our people. Things are at a low ebb. People are prepared to defy God left, right and center. There's no respect, there's little reverence or regard for God. How we need to pray more than anything else for a spiritual appetite and a spiritual concern to develop, deepen and grow in you and me and in our people, our land and our nation. We can judge our own Christian character, and we can judge the character and the life and vitality of a church. Do they have that longing? How strong is it? Is it seen in life? Has it got an effect beyond the church door? Where does it take us? Where does it take others? Do we go back time and again to the source of this longing to be satisfied only with God's word? Or once the service is over, that's it. We're away to do this, that and the other for ourselves. The source of this concern. It is so rare today. It seems so little amongst us. We need to pray for it more. Spiritual condition. Sign of it. The source of it. The fourth thing I want us to think about, how is it stimulated? How is it promoted? How does it develop and grow? What does this desire, longing, feed on? Two simple thoughts, again from this text. Read again verse 2. This is David speaking. He says, I want what? I want to see the power and the glory as I have seen that in the sanctuary. Our memories are a great thing. A great resource that we've got when we recall other times, past days. Every one of us here can remember a service we were at. Every one of us can remember another gathering in another place with another voice perhaps. But there was something about that which was special for you. There were great flashes of truth came across your mind. God's word was probing your soul. New areas of truth, new areas of your life were opened up. You saw things in a new and a fresh way. There was the power of heaven. There was the breath of eternity blowing across your soul. The glory, the power, the beauty of things spiritual in Jesus Christ confronted us as never before. These days were different. Heaven and eternity broke in upon us. And we recognized that God was close there to us. God was speaking with us. These past dealings is what this man wants to be repeated once again with him. And we can have the same exercise of our memory to remember what God did for us and visited us and came close to us in times past. And we can ask, Lord, as I saw you, as I felt, as I knew the truth of heaven coming on my soul in that place, and we name it, at that time, and we set it, with this minister, and we see the face. Lord, it happened then. May it happen now. Stimulating this desire from past dealings. But not only stimulating from past dealings, but we can also stimulate it, as it were, with present lessons. Now, what I mean by that is this. Anyone who's gone through severe thirst and drought, they value the first sip of water. It's precious to them. And anyone who is in the wilderness learns through the school of hard knocks. Anyone who's been through the wilderness learns through the school of hard knocks to value, to count as precious, the loving kindness of the Lord. That's what he says in verse 3. He says, better is thy loving kindness than life. There are times when God may take you and me into a wilderness experience. There are times when God might strip away some of these things that we had for so long. There are times when our lives begin to fall apart or are being dismantled deliberately by God. Simply for this reason, that we develop an appetite for Him. That our longing is deepened and we chase after Him faster and harder. The longing that the psalmist speaks about, his past dealings and his present lessons. But that takes us to one last word that I want to share. Yes, the spiritual condition, the signs of the longing, the source of it, the stimulation of it. We've got to get round full circle because we come to verse 5 and we have the satisfaction of that longing. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. As we wait, as David waited, as he prays, as we pray, God in his perfect wisdom And in the perfection of his providence in dealing with every one of his children, the Lord will bring an answer to David and bring an answer to us. It will happen. And when it does happen, there's something we can say about it. There will be a fullness. There will be nothing on earth coming close to it. It is marrow and fatness. There's a New Testament passage. Pressed down and running over. Whenever you put something into a bucket, it's not just simply left to fall into the bucket. It's pressed down hard so that it's concentrated, packed in its fullness in that measure. That's the way God gives to those who long for him and look for him. He comes amongst his people and he never disappoints. Packed and pressed down to the point of overflowing. Yes, it might be hard to be in the wilderness for a while. Yes, it might be hard to be without what we once had for so long. Yes, it might be hard to take it and to live through it. But the Lord will meet us and satisfy that longing as we persist in seeking him for ourselves. We are living in a dry, parched and a thirsty land. We are living where distraction abounds, even coming upon our Christian life and our Christian church. There are distractions, dangers that can threaten us so easily and so quickly. But there's this, and with this I'm closing. The Lord in heaven is looking, and the Lord in heaven is listening. He's looking for a particular character and quality of person. Go to the very end of the prophecy of Isaiah and you read there these important words in the very last chapter, chapter 66 at verse 1. The Lord says this, "The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Where is the temple that you're building for me? For all of these things hath mine hand made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look." He's looking. What kind of man is he looking for? "Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." That's what he's looking for. And what's he listening for? He's listening for these words in our psalm, our text this morning. "Lord, thou art my God. I will seek thee early. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." Is this the longing of our soul? Do these words come out of our hearts? We've got no taste. We've got no taste for the things round about us. More and more, our eyes are fixed on a distant shore. More and more, our longing goes toward our God who waits for us people. More and more, we are wanting to be with him. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 16 says this, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat." Why? "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Let us pray. Our Lord and our gracious God, thy word truly is powerful as it comes home to our souls, bringing with it the dimensions of eternity and the truths of heaven. Help us, Lord, to retain them and to take them to ourselves, not as man would speak, but as God speaks with us. And we pray, our Lord and our God, that we might, even as we now part our separate ways, continue to speak with us, O Lord, and deal with us for our spiritual good. And we pray that we might be drawn and be led to Jesus Christ, the Saviour of our souls. In His name we ask it. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and we're breaking in to sing from verse 5. For thirst and hunger in them faints their soul. That's what we've been speaking about and meditating on this morning. When straits them press, they cry unto the Lord, and He them frees from their distress. Them also in a way to walk that right is He did guide, that they might to a city go wherein they might abide. All that men to the Lord would give praise for His goodness then, and for His works of wonder done unto the sons of men. For He the soul that longing is doth fully satisfy. With goodness He the hungry soul doth fill abundantly. Psalm 107 verses 5 through 9. For thirst and hunger in them faints their soul.
For thirst and...
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.